1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, Mitch Trubisky had a revenge game. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mike Harmon, national host at Fox Sports Radio and the host of the I Watch Your Flex podcast. We talk with him about some Bears football, White Sox baseball, and what to expect for the upcoming NFL season. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at RyanIsMyAgent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Want to start today with this tweet from Mike North. Quote, "This is so blanking great. This will be the first time Nagy blames Mitch Trubisky for a loss, and it'll actually be true." I know I said earlier in the video I did before the game that it was preseason, means nothing, who cares. But I will say this. Had Mitch not performed, I guarantee you, everybody would say, "See, I told you." But I think yesterday, actually, we finally found out who the culprit is, who the problem is for the Bears and their offense. It isn't Mitch. It isn't Justin Fields. It really isn't even Andy Dalton to an extent. It's Matt Nagy. Some of you have caught on over the years and you've commented on my post. You've told me, yes, Matt Nagy needs to go. Play calling's bad. Instinct's bad. Never gets his players ready for a game. They're never ready to play in a game scenario. But I'm serious. After yesterday's game, if you don't see that that's the issue, then I suggest you rewatch the game and you look at how sharp Mitch Trubisky looked. You could say it's preseason, but I'll tell you this much. 220 yards in one half. Touchdown. No picks. No turnovers. Great completion percentage. Looked good. Maybe didn't throw the ball downfield, but that's not what he's supposed to do. Every pass, 5 to 10 yards. Receiver runs for more. They move. I'm not saying that's worthy of a number 2 pick. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but you know what? I think he proved yesterday that he still has a shot to be a decent enough quarterback to win. An adequate quarterback. I'm happy for the guy. Because I know if he didn't perform, the reaction would have been 10 times worse. He came to play. He showed it. And you had to expect that, right? Come on. He's coming back to Soldier Field after the Bears essentially said, "We don't want you anymore. Goodbye." They replaced it with Andy Dalton, which, to my knowledge, I never really understood. And he comes back and lights it up. Now, the more concerning thing about that entire game was the defense. How in the world did the defense, the first-string defense, let Mitch Trubisky run all over them? Just because I like Mitch as a person, think he's an okay quarterback, that doesn't mean he should have torn up the Bears like he did. What we saw yesterday was extremely concerning. Sean Desai had no answers for Mitch Trubisky. Are you kidding me? No answers for Mitch? That was one big takeaway from that game. How do you not know how to contain Mitch Trubisky? Actually, I hate to say it, pretty easy. All you got to do is pressure him and make sure he has nowhere to scramble. And also make sure you take away the passes from 0 to 10 yards. And you'll beat him. Force him to throw downfield, force pressure on him, sack him, make him make a bad decision. Simple. They couldn't do that, though. With their first string defense? For the whole first half? That's a huge concern. I mean, to let Mitch go 20 of 28, no turnovers, touchdown, 220 yards in two quarters. As happy as I was for Mitch, I was more of an indictment on the defense and their inept play. I don't know what it's going to take to get them to focus up and be better, but I only got a couple of weeks left. And if you're going to play like that, you got a big issue coming. We talked about it in the offseason. I was told you're crazy, but the defense is getting old, in case you didn't know. They're not as good as they were a couple of years ago, at all. Sure, the Bears broadcast could butter them up and say, oh, they're working on turnovers. Hey, they forced a fumble in the fourth quarter. The point is this. They let Mitch Trubisky throw for 221 yards and not force one turnover on. No fumble, no interception, nothing. Shouldn't that be a concern? I mean, if you can't force Mitch to cough up the football, what are you going to do when you face a good quarterback, a better quarterback? These are very serious problems here. We haven't even gotten to the O-line yet either, which we'll talk about in just a second, and Justin Fields. You know, Bears season never passes by without concerns and issues, but I have to say this year, there are more than I remember from last year. Even the year before. I mean, these are real serious issues. When you're giving up all this to Mitch Trubisky, when your O-line can't protect either quarterback, Dalton or Fields, when Fields is getting killed and running for his life, and when Andy Dalton can't even complete a pass, you got a problem. You got a big problem. And that, in a nutshell, was the game yesterday. Fields was the team's leading rusher. Nobody ran for any good yards. Khalil Herbert, 3 rushes, 15 yards. That's it. So the run game's going to be a problem if you have no one to block. Fields was 9 of 19 for 80 yards. He was pressured. He had no time to throw. And he was killed. That hit, where his helmet fell off, was the scariest couple of seconds I've ever seen. And yet we still have the same people saying, start him game one. Really? I was on Twitter yesterday. I got quote tweeted. Somebody told me, I'll never understand that logic. That's so wrong. Really? Wrong to not have Joe Burrow happen? It's wrong to make sure David Carr doesn't happen again? You're fooling yourself. I don't care if the situations aren't necessarily the same. Oh, the Bears need a quarterback, so it's different. No, it isn't. The Bengals needed a quarterback. They put in Burrow. Look what happened. And when they interviewed Zach Taylor the day after Burrow got hurt, and they said, hey, if you didn't play him in front of that offensive line, everything would be okay. He said, oh, it wasn't the offensive line's fault. He was covering for him. Yes, it was the offensive line's fault. That was the worst offensive line in years in the NFL. Look what happened to Burrow. But no, keep saying the situations aren't the same. Go ahead. Oh, Fields is more talented. He'll avoid the pressure. I didn't see him avoid any pressure yesterday. Saw him run. Great. I love a running quarterback. I'll be the first to admit it. But you know what? The guy still got lit up. He still got sacked a couple of times. The Bears didn't protect him. And everybody wants the same thing. You know what? So be it. Everybody will learn. Really. Bengals fans learned. Washington football team fans learned. With RG3. They learned. Everybody else could learn here too. Oh, not playing him because of an injury is so stupid. Really? Well, when he tears his ACL from getting sacked in the pocket too many times, when he has too many concussions like Jay Cutler did from not getting any protection, then we'll talk. You trade up to get somebody, and you're just going to turn around and not even care about the investment? That makes no sense whatsoever. And you all know that, too. I really understand it. I get it. Everybody is so quarterback hungry. And Andy Dalton did himself no favors yesterday, believe me. That was an atrocious performance. My goodness. But I really don't think Fields should start right away. I'm fine with game 2, 3, 4 against Detroit. It's fine by me. But right away, it could be a problem. It could be. I don't want him suffering the same fate that Burrow, Carr, RG3, and other quarterbacks have faced. All those guys were talented, still are if they're still playing. But injuries certainly hurt them. And I really don't like the argument at all. These are all different situations. They're not. They're similar. There are similarities to all these. And if you don't see it, then so be it. You'll see it soon enough. I mean, here's what I was told on Twitter. Somebody actually quoted me and said this. If you sit Fields, you're wasting a year of Robinson, Hicks, and Max Primes. And Burrow had a great year until he got hurt and will be back, which we don't know, by the way. As another host says, Carr is an example of post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. The situations are unrelated. What? Unrelated? The situations are unrelated. Okay. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. That's what makes sports talk and talk in general very fun to do. So if that's your opinion, if you believe the situations are unrelated, if you believe, I guess, apparently in this fantasy, the Bears have a good enough offensive line to protect Justin Fields, so be it. Let him play. Everyone will learn. And this isn't a controversial opinion, by the way, at all. I mean, we're talking about NFL GMs. Former NFL GMs on my program said the exact same thing. This is not controversial. It's just controversial to the Bears superfan who wants everything today instead of tomorrow or in a couple of years. I get it. Start for a quarterback, needs some sort of hope. You know, he's right there. He could play. He is talented, yes. I just don't want the guy getting hurt. And if your response to that is he's going to get hurt anyway, then go ahead and play him and see what happens. Go ahead and play him with that offensive line. You are not going to convince me that it's even good. Oh, they improved last year. Well, they didn't look so good yesterday. With Dalton or with Fields. Oh, by the way, if Fields is so good, why'd he go 9 of 19 for 80 yards and no touchdowns against the second string defense? He's a rookie. He has work to do, like everybody else does. He has to grow into the position. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not asking him to be this superstar right away. Everybody else might be, but I actually have tempered expectations here. I think he could be that after development. But no one wants him to be developed. And to his credit, he's a hell of a leader. Look what he said about people booing Andy Dalton yesterday, quote, "I really think it's kind of disrespectful to Andy. I'm cheering my name out like that. Just cheer him on, you know? That's not helping Andy play better to cheer my name. That's not doing anything. My advice to them would be just cheer whoever's on the field." And the article title, "Justin Fields criticizes Bears fans for rooting for him over Andy Dalton." He's a leader. I love that. He knows his role. He might be working hard, but he's not jockeying to take out Andy Dalton, and he's not being vocal and saying, "Oh, I should start right away." No. He knows what's best for him. Here's the sub-headline. "Fields knows he's going to get a shot in Chicago, so focusing on being a good teammate is a wise approach." Of course it is. People just don't get it. And that's fine. Everyone will see it sooner rather than later. Oh, and by the way, a quote from Trubisky, just to make sure you hear it, quote, "I just feel comfortable and continue to grow and learn in this offense, and it's been a lot of fun working with Coach Dabble. Got a lot of trust and faith in him. He's calling it really well." Pretty funny. Quote, "He was cool, calm, collected. He just came out and he just threw the ball. He slung it like he knows how to." For those Mitch detractors who said shouldn't even be in the NFL, called a bust. I don't know, yesterday didn't look like a bust to me. So funny how everybody just overreacts. And literally does no research whatsoever. No one here remembers Burrow, Carr, and RG3. They just think Justin Fields is a completely separate topic when it's not. People don't remember Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf. They say Trubisky is the bust when, obviously, he's not. What happened to the philosophy that the NFL is a league of parity? That goes out the window now? Oh, it's on a team level. No, it isn't. There are so many parallel situations that have been in the NFL for years. It's up to you to acknowledge them. To sit here and say David Carr, Joe Burrow have nothing to do with Justin Fields, well, then you'll find out that it does when Fields gets hurt or when something happens because he has no protection. When you come out and say Mitch Trubisky's a bust, horrible quarterback, when you neglect Johnny Manziel, Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, Then again, obviously, you have no clue about football history, nor do you know the true definition of a bust. You gotta love it, though. Gotta love all these people saying this stuff. I mean, it's pretty funny. I laugh at it. I laughed yesterday watching the game. Nagy getting all mad, wondering what was happening. Trubisky driving the offense downfield, play after play. Sean Desai, the first-string Bears defense, having no answers, which is a big concern. And then Justin Fields running for his life, and everybody saying, hey, he should start game one. Well, and so be it. Do it. Everyone will learn eventually. Fields just said, don't be booing Andy Dalton. He knows his role, and he has no issue with Dalton starting week one. How do you think? I give the guy so much credit. He knows his role, and he knows what he wants. He doesn't want to start game one. If that's up to him, great. I want him to be comfortable, and I want him to know, hey, we got 5-0 linemen that are going to protect you at all costs. I'd rather see that. That was the most controversial and most watched preseason game in a while here in Chicago. Between Mitch returning, Fields, who to start game one. I mean, you can tell football season's back. And my message will always be the same. I don't waver. Fields should not start game one. He shouldn't start till he has real protection. Don't have him beat Joe Burrow. Mitch Trubisky is a competent quarterback, even if you don't want to admit it. And he proved it yesterday, whether it was preseason or not, because I know if he threw two picks, if he went 0 for 5, two picks, they pulled him. The answer would have been, see, we told you, John. You didn't tell me anything. He showed yesterday that he's still capable of succeeding in the NFL. Hey, if the Bears' defense is so good and he faced the first string, why'd they give up 30-plus points to Mitch? So if Mitch could carve up the Bears' defense, shouldn't that mean he's a competent NFL quarterback? Nope, you don't want to admit it, and that's fine. Nobody did. Everyone said, oh, I'm happy to see him succeed, but no one said, wait a minute, he can actually play. Carved up the Bears' first-string defense. No, because if you do that, you admit that Mitch Trubisky is actually a competent quarterback, and that's incorrect to many people. It's wrong to say Mitch could actually succeed in the NFL. Gotta watch out for the Bears' Twitter mob. Everybody saw what they wanted to see yesterday. It's that simple. Everybody saw what they wanted to see to help force their own narrative. The field starts crowd said, oh, he's playing with a second string O-line. He should start right away. Did you see that pass? The Mitch sucks crowd said, well, it's just the preseason. It doesn't matter. You're not going to convince anybody otherwise on both of those topics. Now it's become mainstream opinion that field should start. And you know what? Maybe he will. And everyone will see what a big mistake that is, not because of talent, but because if you have nothing to protect him, he's going to get hurt real quick. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike Harmon comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a host on Fox Sports Radio, the founder of SwollenDome.com, and the host of the I Want Your Flex podcast. Please welcome Mike Harmon to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
It means another cycle has come, and it's been a year, as everybody has had the highs, lows, and living vicariously through the sports on the field. So we at least have that victory for us.
So, Mike, what's your take on the Bears' first preseason game?
It's a first preseason game. I don't get too high. I don't get too low. Try to be the voice of reason on our show on Fox Sports Radio, you know, fighting Jason Smith. And sometimes LeVar Arrington and I go at it on our Sunday show. But it's the, you know, the idea that you try to take little glimpses and see if you can pull a few positives. Because let's face it, you know, anytime you start getting amped up too much, you've set yourself up for great disappointment. You know what? As I get older, I try not to do that, right? Let's temper expectations and then be pleasantly surprised. But, you know, you have to like some of the things you saw. And certainly Justin Fields was the headliner and making national news and obviously dominating the airwaves there in Chicago. But, you know, when I look at it overall, you know, there's the big question for me that isn't going to be solved or answered in any preseason game is, are there going to be five guys that can line up and keep him upright? Because the last thing I want is the Bears to unveil some new color scheme or alternate jersey next year, and for all of us to be looking at, you know, Justin Fields' knee or ankle like we did Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals, where he played behind one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled, ran for his life, and paid the price. So, you know, it's all about being practical, pragmatic, and recognizing where there's going to be an obvious question mark on your roster.
Should he start game one if the O-line is still in this position?
I'm not starting him against the Rams in that defensive front. I mean, look, I'm not there at practice, so if you just tell me he's otherworldly with every throw, whatever. But, you know, let's be frank. The throw to Jesse James, other than showing a little bit of arm strength and, yes, accuracy, so it looked like a giant bullseye on the field, that wasn't into a tight window. That wasn't a big-time throw. Jesse James caught the ball and backed in like, yeah, he could have moonwalked in or whatever dance you want to do. It was like there was no pressure point on that throw. The run, impressive. Field vision, all of that stuff is great. But to me, you paid QB1, right, all the Instagram posts or whatever, Andy Dalton a bunch of money to come in. We know what he is. And you've got a tough opponent out of the gate. I'm still of the old school of I want to see the guy, you know, grow into a role and know that when you hand the keys over, it's ready to go. And I think what we have right now is, you know, our microwave society. And some teams have set it up to where there is no competition. You look at the fun and excitement of Trevor Lawrence you know, with Gardner Minshew still there, you know, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy. When you go to the Jets, they don't have anybody. It's Zach Wilson time. Here, you went and paid a veteran to come in. So, you know, you can slow the clock and see what you have to start the season.
Mike, when Bears Twitter hears this interview, they're going to come after you. Are you okay with that?
That's fine. It wouldn't be the first time someone's come after me. It won't be the last. On a nightly basis, if I showed you what the comments were in my Twitter feed and messages and everything, yeah, I get called every name in the book. I know everybody wants the shiny new toy right now. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way.
Mike Harmon, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, what's Justin Fields' ceiling, though? How far do you think he could go in the NFL?
If this is done right, and again, I need all the component parts there. As an individual athlete, I mean, it's all there. The ceiling is, you know, it's the old proverbial through the roof. It's just a matter of, you know, do you have all the complementary pieces? I think they're in a little better shape, you know, in the skill positions than I think most, you know, assuming that you get Cohen back to complement Montgomery and you got Damian Williams is interesting. receiver position. I've been stumping for Darnell Mooney a bunch when it comes to the fantasy side of things, you know, the other part of the gig that we do with all this, the I Want Your Flex podcast and all that fun stuff. But, you know, he's no longer a secret. I think folks are figuring out. And he's a guy that'll obviously win big once Justin Fields is there. But I think Fields is a guy that, you know, could be one of those top five guys in this league. But it's like everything. It's like it has its time and its space.
Are you concerned about Matt Nagy developing him?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about it last year and a lot with how the offense was run and decisions that were made. I mean, look how explosive that offense was down the stretch. Why did the scheme have to change then? Why wasn't there a recognition of how Trubisky could run an offense to start a season? And that's not to, you know, go and build a shrine to him. It's just it was obvious that, you know, getting him out on the move. And we see this with a lot of the younger quarterbacks, right? You know, from 7-on-7s and the drills that you do now. A lot of the guys that are throwing on the run and making plays, and I know there's been a lot of spotlight on, you know, a few from Justin during this process. It's like that's part of the DNA of the quarterbacks of this generation. But we saw that with Trubisky last year, and they're moving the ball, they're scoring points. Like the Nick Foles experiment was a disaster when they inserted him into the lineup, and you can't tell me anything else. So, you know, anytime there's the exaltation, and I see it a lot in the national guys because they like Matt Nagy. I take exception. I raise my hand and say, hold on a second. So yeah, there's a modicum of reservation, but sometimes the talent is just going to break through.
How safe do you think his job is moving forward? What needs to happen this year and the years to come for him to stay with the Bears?
They need a better, more secure playoff run. You know, they got in with the extra slot last year, obviously. To me, though, that's the other part is to see the curiosity of the psychology of it all, right? Because if you start Justin Fields and things don't go right off the jump, you don't have that get out of jail free card of, hey, we brought the rookie in midway through the season and it's going to take some time. And so for him and for the front office, certainly, you know, that's the old card you get to play, right? Of, well, you know, we've got this guy, he's at the ready, you got to let us develop him kind of situation. Now we've seen so many other teams haven't, you know, done that, and they'll still put the hook on the coach, but as we know, the Bears usually let it go a little bit longer. So, but I think they have to win, right? Last year had some attrition on defense and some issues that didn't let you hit, you know, max on both sides of the ball. But I think the expectations have to be big for this year.
If they start Fields right away or in the first couple of weeks, do you see a playoff appearance for the Bears?
Well, tough schedule out of the jump, right? So, you know, you got to do it. I think they're a playoff team, provided they can stay healthy, and that's regardless of Dalton or Fields at the QB. I think with Fields, obviously, there's a little different element in terms of the verticality you can get into over Dalton and the plays with his legs, etc. But I still go back to the offensive line. I don't know if they're expecting the arrival of Jason Peters to solve everything. That's the one part of this team. It all begins and ends with that front five and defensively, you know, your alignment and everything builds from there. And that's the one concern that I have. But certainly in the division, you know, Minnesota's got some great talent, but obviously the specter over Kirk Cousins potentially missing times if something enters the building is there. You look at the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell, while he's a fun, entertaining listen, and I love the coaching staff he's assembled, I don't think personnel-wise they're ready. Green Bay, team to beat. And then you look at the NFC overall, I think they should be in the playoff mix and find their way in. But as we know, you know, one or two injuries, and especially that offensive line. I hate to harp on it, and people are going to be like, you said that already. I'm like, yes, because it's that important. It's that important. I don't care how good Justin Fields is. Any quarterback either throwing from his backside or running for his life on every down is not a formula for winning.
And we saw that last year with Foles and Trubisky, to the point where both guys who weren't super mobile had to run away so much, and, you know, nothing materialized.
Right. No, that's just it. So, you know, but that goes back to the adaptability, right? And that was the thing with Mitchell towards the end of the season. It was, okay, we're going to design it to where you're already on the move, right? So that we can make something happen as opposed to just leaving you between the tackles and hoping and wishing and praying. So I think the importance of adaptability, but the worst thing you could do is come into a season saying, all right, we have to game plan for that game one because we know we don't have an offensive line that stands up. And unfortunately, I think that's where they're at right now.
Before we go to baseball, Mike, I wanted to ask you, are there any other national NFL headlines that you wanted to talk about or plug before we shift to a new topic? I know we talked a bit off the air. I want to give you the floor.
Oh, no. I mean, look, it all flows back to the same reservoir, right? You've got hot take nonsense of the hatred of Tim Tebow, who got cut by the Jaguars. Look, I saw some of the, one-liner spokes were thrown out there, and guys are embarrassing themselves. It's like, guy got a shot. Guy got cut. Game over. Okay? That's it. Everybody needs someone to be their champion in any field in this world. And whenever a guy who you've given so much to, you know, like a career for Urban Meyer, came off of the back of a lot of the greatness of Tim Tebow, you let him hang in camp a little bit. And then when it's time, he goes away. And that's it. End of story, right? Everybody else got a job through a friend, got a referral, got a lateral shift because someone knew somebody, or, you know, you were buddies, golfing buddies or whatever. I mean, look in the mirror. You know, those parts of your life that weren't all merit-based. So, you know, all those folks can beat it. The rest of it, I think, there's so much of the air was taken out of the room with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. He ended up doing exactly what I said he would. So I took a little victory lap over my partner, Jason Smith, on that one. We'll continue to fight, I think, all season long on that. And then it's troubling that, you know, you have the situation in Houston that really doesn't seem to be an end to, and there's not a lot of clarity, and the indecisiveness of the NFL puts it back in the crosshairs of folks that want to talk about, you know, how much they care or don't for people outside the league. So that one's a bit troubling, not just for the headlines, but also, you know, we're back to the hand-wringing, ineffectual style of doing things. Even if you didn't like the decisions Roger Goodell made, he tried to be somewhat, or at least to my mind, consistent in, hey, you're hurting the shield, you're suspended, versus right now it's a wait-and-see game, and it's put a first-year coach in no man's land. And for all of us that cover the sport, trying to explain how and why things are happening, there's no rhyme or reason.
How do you think that whole saga ends for Watson?
He'll end up on the exempt list, I would suspect, here, but not until, you know, there's that 11th hour where he's forced to be. And then, because he's not going to be able to be deposed. We talked to our legal analyst on Fox Sports Radio. You know, he's not going to be able to be deposed until February. You've got the summering of a grand jury investigation trying to indict him. And you get into a world where, you know, people say, oh, he's indicted. Well, that doesn't mean he's guilty, right? The old joke from Law and Order was that you can indict a ham sandwich. Not to be glib about it, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily end anything. And you still got to go through all of the women and the complaints and the details and try to decipher through. And the number of them that are now going out to their own press junkets and you know, meeting with reporters, I don't know that helps any of the rest of the process to get to its, you know, whatever that natural conclusion is. So I think it drags on for quite some time here. And, you know, I said, you know, for the last 2 years, Tyrod Taylor's probably led one of the most interesting existences in the National Football League. You lose a starting job on a pretty good looking team because of a bad puncture job, and Justin Herbert takes over, you know, when you're getting your pain shot. And then you go to Houston, where you're expected to be the backup, or, you know, whatever happens in a Deshaun Watson trade scenario. And now you're taking reps while he's still on the field and everybody's trying to figure out which end is up. So you talk about a journey through an NFL life.
Yeah, you know, and he, led the Bills to a playoff appearance. I thought that was a great story, even though he didn't have the best numbers. Was in Cleveland as well, didn't do well, and then was replaced by Baker Mayfield. It seems like everywhere he goes, someone's always right in the back to replace him.
Yeah, it's a weird life that he's lived, right? Because with Buffalo, there were shades of this guy can play, but he's not going to be a stat monster, but he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. And then Cleveland, obviously, you get the opportunity to draft number one. You're done. I mean, that's it. Your career there is finished. So, and in Cleveland, you're usually a placeholder anyway.
Mike Arment here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, let's talk White Sox now. How impressive were their trade deadline moves?
Right now, I'm loving what I'm seeing. Just at every part, you know, function, execution, watching the game on it. While I was on air last night with Fox Sports Radio, I had to, I couldn't just start cheering. I mean, I see a bunt laid down, and I had a tear in my eye. But, you know, when Kimbrel comes in, and he's firing and reaching 100 miles an hour, take what you will of the speedometer and the radar gun, but you know what, it hit triple digits, let's celebrate it. You know, when you get that 1-2 combination at the back of the pen, and you look at the lineup now healthy and ready to roll, it's fun times, right? It's the expectations of the world. I went out this weekend, my daughter had a soccer tournament and had a White Sox shirt on, and the guy looked at me and said, "Hey, good time to be a Sox fan." So like, it's always good time to be a Sox fan. What are you talking about? And he kind of looked at me like, why did you snap back at him? Like, look, man, fandom isn't just when the team's winning, right? The team you follow is like, you feel the lows, but yes, it's a fun year, highlights, and obviously all the attention around the Field of Dreams game. But, you know, when you finally are in a point where your team is being aggressive, not just, hey, we made a little bit of a move here or a little something there, but we go and raid the crosstown cupboard as they're having a sale, right? And all of those, like, there's just a psychology that comes with it. So as a fan, as a guy that works nationally, and anybody that tells you they're not a fan of this, that, the other, again, they're liars. Because what got you into this field? Other than maybe you said, hey, I got a buddy that can get me a job, see how that all comes back, and I can make some money doing this. You're a fan of the game. You're a fan of the team or area that you grew up in. And for me, it's just been just thrilling to watch, you know, this coalesce after everybody wanted Tony La Russa run out of town on the rails.
Did you want Tony La Russa run out of town?
No. I mean, obviously, when the hiring happened, and we talked about it, you know, there was a little bit of, all right, this is an interesting move. Let's see how this plays. And it decision-making, right? People aren't used to, you know, they lament that nobody manages like quote-unquote old school. And yet they were quick to have the poison pens out as soon as he did.
Right. Exactly. Right?
So what you're doing in May sets up for what you're doing in September and October when it's winning time. So if you need to try to bunt to get a player over to generate a run in May and it doesn't work, now you're on the, you know, you're being excoriated in the press. And then all of a sudden you start getting into August and September, and then those plays that you've integrated and made part of what your team's identity is work. It's like, oh, look, the genius of Tony La Russa. It's like, it's nothing the guy hadn't been doing. He was the bullpen guy 30 years ago, mixing and matching and doing all that. So like, I think it just took time for folks to appreciate it. But, you know, as much as people want to celebrate guys as they get older in our sports and still thriving, I mean, look at all the rose petals finally thrown at Tom Brady. You got some holdouts, but for the most part, it's like, oh, look, at 43, still doing that. I think people, Tony La Russa, they weren't quite ready for that And I'm not quite sure why. So, you know, it's seeing him mix with this young squad and leading them as he has is fun. It's a good story for baseball, right? The generations linking together, but also just from a, you know what, managing still matters.
How prepared are they for a World Series championship?
I think they are. I avoid the injuries down the stretch. I mean, obviously no cakewalk, plenty of boppers that you're going to have to field against and play. And I'm wondering if, you know, you go back to 2005, you're going to be leaning on that rotation to come up big, right? Because the conga line of some of these big run out bursts aren't necessarily going to be there on a nightly basis, but you know, you've got the horses. And like we talk, you know, you make a few moves to bolster the staff and the back end and you should be ready to roll. So no, well, I haven't booked a ticket. I mean, because I don't know dates yet. I do expect to be seeing baseball deep into October.
Are you going to come out to Chicago for a game if they make it to the World Series?
Oh, I'm already working with my brothers on that, yeah. No. I got to game two back in 2005.
Okay.
And had to cancel all of my radio appearances. I was doing, like, hits all over the country doing fantasy stuff because I had no voice.
What do you think they do this year? I mean, do you think really that they're going to win the World Series? I mean, who do they have to get past and who do you think they face in this series itself?
Well, I picked the Brewers White Sox World Series pretty early in the season.
Okay.
So out here in Los Angeles, obviously, you know, all the expectations, we're going again. It's like, that rotation is really shaky right now. And the guy that you just acquired, not quite a throw-in, but well, let's call it a throw-in. In Trey Turner, the way that trade went down, he's your best position player right now. So, you know, Bellinger's starting to hit again. Certainly the long balls are coming back, but they haven't had the same level of consistency. And you would think after all these deep playoff runs, even though they're younger guys, eventually it starts to catch up a little bit. But rotation-wise, I mean, we're not even going to get into the Trevor Bauer stuff, but he's not there. Kershaw's hurt. Dustin May's not there. So it's been on Julio Urias, who's been fantastic. And now you got Max Scherzer. So, you know, nice to be able to go into the market and pick that up. But is that enough? I'm not sure. Milwaukee, you know, as you guys followed there in the Midwest, you know, deep. And look, you could beat up on the Cubs a lot, so that helps. But it's – and that was not a slight to the Cubs. Okay, all right, it might have been. But it's the idea that –
Triple-A Cubs, Mike.
Well, but it's everything you do, John. You know, you beat who's on the schedule, right? Right. Folks could say that about the White Sox. Like, you know, all you can do is play the games, refine things, figure out what's going to work. And then we see how it goes once you, you know, scale up and you're into the playoffs. And so I think it works. National League, you know, there's a couple of teams that, you know, are interesting, but are they world beaters? No. Right, I think they're all. You got a number of teams that are the same on that side of the bracket, and through the American League, it's the all right coming out of the East. You know what kind of power sensations? I mean, we saw how quickly things can change if the Yankees are hanging around, right? You know, I don't know how a guy's still on a roster after saying I quit as a closer, but I'll leave those kind of decisions for people to answer that are smarter than me, but the decisions going through, I think they're well positioned to make a run. Pitching and big time hitting, it works. Plus the situational baseball, triple underscore that, all the stuff they've been working on all year.
More to come with Mike Harmon in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, two more questions before we finish out. First off, your best moment hosting I Want Your Flex is what?
Oh, I Want Your Flex. We did episode one. We did the quarterbacks and the tight ends. And I did a really good job stumping for Josh Allen.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to secretly throw someone through a table. Maybe there's I need to lay down on the couch and talk that through somebody. But, you know, I have him up at number one. And then I get a little creative in the rankings. And this was even before the next MRI for Dak Prescott and such. So, no, Dan Byer and I are having a good time. It's a good listen. And odds are if you didn't want to yell at me for the takes earlier, you'll want to do it now.
And, Mike, before we finish up today, last question, what's the most impassioned rant you've had on Fox Sports Radio?
I am a guy that believes in the market economy. So anytime there's an overall grousing over ticket prices, parking, whatever, I sound like Joe Corporate. But I'm also, you know, coming from the idea of, these are supposed to be events, right? I'll put it in perspective. You know, every year they have the, maybe sometimes twice a year, the, all right, prices are going up at Disneyland. And everybody starts wringing their hands, going, oh, my God, it costs. Can you remember? And I laugh and I go, you're still going to go, right? It's like, yeah. It's like, all right, so that they proved their point. Inelastic demand, right? You're studying this. I know this.
Right.
You know, inelastic demand. I can raise it another 20%. And you know what? Same number of people are walking through the gates. The fact that they haven't, you know, doubled it on principle has always been surprising to me. But they get you for all the plastic tchotchkes, sweatshirts, when you realize it actually kind of gets chilly at night, all of those things. But it's the same thing with sports. Like, you got a lot of opportunities to go to games. And I know football only has 8, but again, it's a big city, millions of people, which means prices are going to be high. And when you've got a winner in town like the White Sox, you're going to have to be prepared to pay, right? You want them to retain free agents. Price of poker goes up, which means the price of your ticket is going to go up. And all of those things. You want to go to a big series, right? People mad that they couldn't get into the Field of Dreams. Well, that's one thing. But then I saw so many hand-wringing things. I was like, oh, get in, you know, it was $1,500 on the secondary market. I'm like, it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Unless you stalk Kevin Costner on a golf course, you're not going to go and see him that close, right? Big movie stars. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event. You go to a bar or restaurant, you know, pick whatever your favorite local places or chain restaurant, family of four eating hot dogs, hamburgers, and having a couple of soft drinks. You're not getting out for under $50.
Right.
Put it in a jar. Cook those hot dogs at home 1 week. It's, well, you can get them on sale sometimes for 99 cents for an 8-pack. Add some buns, you're in for $2. And you probably already have condiments that have been sitting in your fridge forever. There you go. There's a $48 different swing for that week that goes into a jar towards the next big event you want to go to. And people get mad at me and they start cursing at me. My partner on the radio tells me, and I'm an elitist. And I say, no. Experiences, there's an intrinsic value. And when it's a once in a lifetime, like the Bears, if you guys come out here and the Bears are out here for the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, you know what? It's a new building. It's Los Angeles. And the Bears haven't been there since Miami. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You know what? Start saving now. Because even if it doesn't happen this year, eventually wasn't when it does. If you've been putting a couple of bucks away every week, it's kind of like building for your retirement. Same thing here for your fandom. Invest in your fandom that when it happens, you're going to be able to grab a hammer, smash that jar and say, all right, we've got money for tickets. And you know what? We could pay whatever Disney wants this week too.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on. Best wishes with iWatch Your Flex, Fox Sports Radio, and looking forward to catching up again soon. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to see how this thing starts popping. You know I'll be in touch, brother. Thanks for the time.
Great talk there with Mike Harmon, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike Harmon himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, to Marlboro Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?